Romans chapter 6. It's page 15, no, 1754 in your pew Bible. 1754, Romans 6. Lord, thank you for the fun, joy of getting baptized, having our sins forgiven, being washed clean. Lord, all of us, we've failed, we've sinned, we feel guilty. And thank you that Jesus far overwhelms, outweighs what we have done with what he's done. Help us to trust, relax, enjoy, and share you in Jesus' name. Thank you for these two that are getting baptized, Elena and Kaylee. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for their faith and obedience. Your love language, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And we need to get a copy of your rap. I have old ears. I couldn't follow it. Oh, that was a good one. Everybody's laughing, but I... And wasn't Zach Churchill, what was that, awesome last week? So what if you asked me, so was that a candidating sermon? And I was like, so pray. What he said, but I think he still has the fire for his, but anyway, we'll let him know that we liked his sermon. Two of us are getting baptized. And baptism, I mean, Satan is so smart. He attacks everything. And baptism is one of the things that he attacks. Back in Jesus' day, people were more on the same page. So no matter what page you're on, I think you're going to enjoy and learn something from this. Baptism is a symbol. And symbols have meaning. And it's water. I mean, that's something we all can agree on. Baptism has something to do with water. And what is it about water? I mean, how much of our earth is made of water? How much of your body is made of water? If we didn't have water, it would be a very dry, desolate, dead, dirty, stinky. Water's neat. One of you asked me, you were on went on vacation, and you asked me to come just check on your pool. And I love swimming. You said I could jump in if I wanted to. And so I go to your house, and I was eating a bagel. And you had inner tubes on the deck, so I threw an inner tube in, and then I jumped in with my bagel. Well, I kind of overcalculated. And when I landed, and my legs went up over my head, and I had this bagel. And so I pushed the bagel up, did the flip, but I kept my eyes open because I didn't want the bagel to go under the water. You know what I'm saying? And the bagel went under the water. And I was like on my knees, but I pushed it up before it. And it was only under the water for a second. So I thought, okay, it's hard. It was just for a second. So I jumped back on the inner tube and took a bite of my bagel, and it didn't taste like, you know, a bagel. It tasted like chlorine. That's how good water is. You just get in it for a second, and you're totally wet. Doesn't take long, amen? Jesus doesn't take long either. And stand up and read about baptism. Romans chapter 6, Paul uses the word baptized three times here, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, like our old nature. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he can't die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't keep offering the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness. And then read verse 14 out loud with me. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Lord, thank you for the pictures. The cross, the crucifixion, the tomb, the resurrection, Easter morning, and the baptism, water, cleansing, burial, uniting. That bagel just under a second got united with the water and tasted like chlorine. Lord, help us taste like Jesus because of our connection with him, we pray. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's do it. This is God's word. If you're comfortable, this is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Give each other a tap or hug or something and take a seat. Paul, in Romans, they say, is the crown jewel of his writings. He's the most thorough, theological, logical in this book. And he wants us to know the gospel. He's going to Rome to share the gospel, but he wants to make sure they know what the gospel is even before he gets there. And in chapter 1, he says, there's a God, and we all know there's something big out there. And we know that we haven't measured quite up to his standard, but we've pushed him away. And because we've pushed him away, we then begin hurting each other. And then chapter 2 says, you who are religious, you who are on the inside, you judge those who are on the outside, but you do the same things. And so chapter 3, he ties the knot and says, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, who of us have kept the Ten Commandments, the law? No other gods, no idols, no taking his name in vain, honoring the Sabbath, honor your father and mother, no murder. And Jesus says that also includes unjust anger. No adultery. And Jesus says that also includes impure lust. No stealing, no lying, no coveting. But he ends chapter 3 by saying, but Christ became the sacrifice for us, the payment for us. Chapter 4, and this isn't a new thing. That's what David experienced, who committed adultery and murder. He received mercy from God. And our forefather Abraham, he got righteous. He got, because he had faith before his circumcision. So chapter 5, we stand in this. And if Jesus could do this for us while he was on the cross having the nails hammered through his hands and feet, how much more can he save us that he is in glory, interceding for us at the Father's right hand? And let me go even further back. If it worked for David and for Abraham, how about Adam? Don't you believe the whole world's the mess it's in because of one man? So can't you believe we can get salvation through the second Adam? And then he comes to chapter 6. So you might ask, well, if grace is so good and God covers all sin, why not sin? Rasputin, the Russian monk, told his baptism converts, now that you've been baptized, go out and sin. Sin big, sin deep, because then you'll feel God's love. And Paul says, just what you're saying, no way. What's the matter with you? You're dead to sin. And he goes back to baptism, and he says it 3 times. Now, in our day, like you look at our gospel tracts, our gospel presentations, and evangelistic, so forth, we don't talk about baptism. But in Paul's day, if you believed in Jesus, you got baptized. Now, do you have to be baptized to be saved? Well, the thief on the cross, was he baptized? Of course, he couldn't have gotten baptized, so maybe that's not the best illustration. How about the guy who got let down through the roof? What did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven you because of his baptism. No, because of his faith. The woman, the prostitute, was kissing Jesus' feet. Did Jesus say, okay, well, if you get baptized, no, what did he? Your sins are forgiven. Baptism occurs like 80-some times in the New Testament, a whole lot more than we give it credit for. But the word faith occurs like 300-some times. Every time you find the word baptism, you usually find faith or belief somewhere close by. But you don't always find baptism next to every time the word faith and believe. So faith in Jesus is the most important thing. Amen? But baptism is a way to aid our faith and express our faith. And it's a wild, well, let's just talk about this for a second. Baptism has a symbol. It's a bath. It's water. Now, this is charcoal and honey. Hope I don't get it on my shirt. But. Okay. My hand is now dirty, right? How do I get it off? I know. Ew. That didn't work. Wait. If I take this vanilla, not white, but close to what we got, and I put it in the water, and then do this, look at that. Look at that.
You get the point.
Now, this is amazing. My hand was dirty, and the wash rag was clean, and now the wash rag's dirty, and my hand is clean. I mean, is this a magic trick? No, this is our Creator God. I'm going to make the earth full of water. I'm going to cleanse it with rain and rivers and creeks and oceans, and I'm going to give you water to bathe, to wash, to drink. So when you admit your dirt and don't try to get it off on your own, just makes it worse. Go to Jesus. Amen. Let him cleanse you. Wait, I'm all dirty and filthy and stinky from working in the yard, and I pour water into the bathtub, and I'm smelly and dirty, and the water's clean and pure, and I take my bath, and now I step out clean, and the water's scummy and looks like oatmeal on the side, you know, when you pull the plug. Does that happen to your bath, right? Jesus is totally pure and righteous. Okay, maybe it doesn't happen when you take a bath. Jesus is totally pure and righteous, amen? And we're sinful and dirty. And when we trust in him, we get his clean, and he takes our sin. Is that awesome? What a picture. What a picture. Now, baptism symbolizes a washing. It symbolizes something else of how they did it back in the New Testament. And scholars, no matter what their tradition or church background, almost all agree with this. In fact, you can see this in the Message. The Message, excellent. Written by Eugene Peterson, is a paraphrase of the scriptures. And he's Presbyterian. He sprinkles. He sprinkles infants. But when he paraphrased Romans chapter 6, he says, when you went under the water, because that's how they did it. You read, and you know, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water, and they came up out of the water. John the Baptist and Jesus came up out of the water. And the very word baptism, there's different Greek words. There's the Greek word bapto and the Greek word baptizo. Now, when you add the idzo on the end of bapto, it means superwash. Bapto means wash. Baptizo means superwash. It's like, you know, when your dishwasher, you know, there's regular and then there's the right? And they used baptizo when you drowned. They used baptizo when a ship sunk. I mean, you got super washed. When you come to Jesus, he just doesn't, He super washes you. Isn't that neat? Uh-oh. But it also means to drown. Now, Elena, Kaylee, I want to tell you a terrible story. There was a Christian ferryman who took people, you know, across the river. And he was a strong believer. And he shared Jesus with everybody who crossed over. And if they trusted in Jesus, he says, well, we're right here. Let's do it. And he would baptize them. But he was a big guy. And he did not let them up. He drowned them. Because in that time, in that thinking, when you got baptized, all of your sins got forgiven, past tense, but you were on your own forward. Constantine didn't get baptized till he's on his deathbed. There was a reason for that. They wanted to get baptized as, no, it's a super wash. It works both ways, amen? Jesus died for me, for my past, for my present, and my future. But it is a burial. It is a death. Elena and Kaylee, both of you. I met with them separately. And it was so neat with Mike and then with Kaylee's mom, Jesse. And the faith. And why do you want to get baptized? I want to say it. I want to. This is a death today. It is a death. It's a death to the old life. It's a death to self. Now, as you read the passage, Paul's a Christian. You don't always feel dead to yourself, do you? I like to use this as an analogy. I got married to Janet Elaine Milliken on June 16th, 1979. And we had a ceremony. And we exchanged rings. And her name now is not Janet Elaine Milliken, but Janet Elaine Baker. And we have 3 kids and 10 grandkids. I'm surrounded by signs of my marriage. Does that mean Janet and I never have an argument? But I need to remember the commitment I've made. Because if I step outside of that commitment, there's going to be death in many different ways. It's not who I am anymore. I'm not free to play the field. I'm not free to check people out because that's death. I've died to that, but I'm alive to Jesus. Amen. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like a Christian. Sometimes you don't feel safe. Sometimes you don't feel like doing the right thing, but you know that when you don't, it just doesn't feel good anymore. You know why? Because you've been baptized. When you take a bath, you don't want to get dirty again, do you? A little more careful. And so baptism is a bath. It's an execution. And along those lines, and Elena and Kaylee, I'll ask you this. Do you believe that without Jesus, we're headed for hell? Do you believe without Jesus, we deserve to die and be executed, but that he took that execution for us? It's a bath, it's an execution, but the other thing is, it's a uniting. It's being overwhelmed, it's being submerged, it's being immersed, it's being totally surrounded by Jesus. It's being connected to him. Ceremonies have fallen into hard times in our modern culture. I don't need a ceremony. Sometimes when I'm doing premarital counseling, well, I ask this every time, so why do you all want to get married? And sometimes the guy says, well, I don't know why we're getting married, but she wants to. It's just a ceremony. It's just a piece of paper. Like, I'm so far beyond that. I've shown my love. And it's so great when the actual wedding day comes. And there's the guests. And we walk out, just the groom and me. And then we turn and face the congregation, you know, the bride's side, the groom's side. And the music's going. And the bridal, you know, the groomsmen and the maid, bridesmaids, that's what they're called, yeah, come down, you know, they're smiling, and then they separate, and then more come, and And then the flower girl and the ring bearer come and they're dropping the petals and people giggle and it's sweet and it's neat. And then the music changes. And the mother of the bride stands up and turns back and he sees her being escorted by her dad for the first time that day. And you can see his knees. His lip starts trembling. I've seen tears coming down. And I want to say, just a ceremony, huh? Just a piece of paper, huh? I don't have to do that because he's getting it. Ceremonies say, this is important. This is special. I'm all in. I'm going public with this. I'm showing my commitment. Baptism is a ceremony. It's a bath. It's an execution, but it's also a uniting. I was listening to Bema this last week, the discipleship thing, and you can look at it. So it's a podcast, and so it's looking at scriptures from the Jewish Christian perspective, and it shared something. And we're going to have another ceremony today called communion, a bath and a meal. And anyway, in the Jewish ceremony, and Philip, you referred to this a couple years ago, I think, and this guy said the same thing. When they arranged the marriage, the way the guy proposed to his wife, future wife, he would go up to her and say, this cup is the cup of the new covenant I have with you. I will not drink it again until I drink it with you in my Father's house. That's what the groom said. Now, does that remind you of anybody? Jesus takes the cup. This cup is the new covenant. And I will not drink it again until I drink it with you in my Father's house. Baptism is not only a bath and an execution, and a cleansing. It is a uniting. It is a marriage. Guess what they did before they actually had the ceremony? They took a bath. They prepared themselves for each other. Communion, baptism, is a marriage. It's a bath. It's an execution. It's new life. If I take this piece of paper and put it in this Bible, in a sense, the piece of paper has been baptized by the Bible. Everything now, because the piece of paper is in here, everything that happens to the Bible happens to this piece of paper. If I take a nail and drive it through, the piece of paper gets nailed too. If I go out and dig a hole and put the Bible in, the piece of paper gets buried too. If I dig it up after 3 days, you see where I'm going, then guess what? The piece of paper gets unburied too. If I take this Bible and throw it up into the sky, this piece of paper goes with the Bible too. Elena, Kaylee, when you trusted Jesus, you got baptized in him. His death becomes your death. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. His life becomes your life. His home in heaven becomes your home in heaven. And one day, if he doesn't come back before that, and you're put in a casket or an urn, and you're put in a cemetery with your name and the dates of your birth and your death, when he comes back, that stone's going to fall over just like his stone fell over, and you're going to come out of that grave just like his body came out of that grave because you've been baptized. You've had a bath. You've had an execution. And you've had a marriage. And he's bringing you home. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for the clear, clear picture. And if you have never asked Jesus to save you, to wash you, to baptize you, please do it now. If you're feeling guilty and dirty, and we are, say, Lord Jesus, wash me. Forgive me, save me, cleanse me, make me new. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for Elena and Kaylee and their faith and obedience this day. Thank you for the image, the picture, the reality of a cross, an empty tomb, a risen Savior. Guide us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. So we're going to have communion, a ceremony we all can partake in if you're trusting in Jesus. And then, Elaine, I'll have you come up first. We'll baptize you. And then, Kaylee, you second. And, you know, again, Mike, if you want to come up, or Jesse, if you want to come with your daughter, you know, feel free. So the night before Jesus died for us, he lifted up that cup. Oh, no, let's do the bread first. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. It just struck me. That's another analogy to marriage, isn't it? The two shall become one. He wants to be one with us. So take and eat in remembrance of Christ. Father, thank you that you don't only just forgive us. You love us. You want us. As somebody said, you love us more than you hate our sin. Help us to slow down, to stay united. We are one flesh with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And then after the bread, he took the cup. I can't imagine what the disciples were thinking. That's what we say when we get married. Great. And he lifted up the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I will not drink it again until I drink it with you anew in the kingdom. So drink in remembrance of Christ. Lord, the thought that just hit too is that baptism is a celebration as well. You are so great. An execution and a celebration right on top of each other. Lord, help us to walk a new life, we pray. Your life. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing one song, right? Two songs. And then we'll have Elena and Kaylee come up after that. Stand up, sing to our Lord.